Not Pastor Evans' word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet. It's always a light unto our path. As we come gathered today to hear the word of God, I thank you for breathing on this dinner that has been prepared. And I pray, God, that just like your word tells us, man can't live on just bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. So, Lord, we thank you for the word that we're going to hear that's coming out of your mouth today. And I pray, Lord, that as we hear it, as we receive it, as we believe it, and as we activate it, we're going to see momentum in 2025 than we've ever seen in our lives. And so I thank you in advance for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow the word today as we activate it. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We are in a brand new year with brand new service times, and I'm starting a brand new series entitled Divine Momentum from Stagnation to Acceleration. Everybody say from stagnation to acceleration. And so last year, as I began to pray about the direction of our church and for our lives in 2025, the Lord put the word momentum in my spirit. Everybody say momentum. He put the word momentum in my spirit. And the verse that I'm about to read in just a second is, to me, is a perfect picture of describing what momentum looks like and what momentum sounds like and what I believe God's going to do in our lives in 2025. This verse is found in Amos chapter 9. I'm reading verses 13 through 15, and I'm actually reading it out of the Message translation. Listen to what momentum sounds like that I believe God wants to do in our lives in 2025. He says, yes, indeed. It won't be long now, God decrees. Things are going to happen so fast, your head is going to swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't even be able to keep up. Everything is going to be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. And God says, I will make everything right again for my people Israel. And so listen, I believe that's how we're going to experience momentum in our life. Now, I'm about to ask you to do something that, to my knowledge, I've never asked before of our church. Here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to take this word momentum and take it personal. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to take this personal. Yeah, this word momentum is for our church as an organization. But I also want you to receive this word on a personal level. In other words, I want you to believe and receive that momentum is going to impact your life on a personal level. And if you're going to make a New Year's resolution, which some of you all probably have, why don't I ask you to let that New Year's resolution be that momentum is going to manifest in your life. Everybody say momentum is going to manifest in my life. Now, this is not just a church thing. This is a personal thing. And so what I'm about to do now is read an example of momentum already happening to one of our members. One of our members just sent this in this past week. And they're going to reference in what I'm about to read last week. And the last week's reference was actually last week. They sent this in to Pastor Polo, so I'm going to read it. It says, Pastor Polo, I just wanted you to know that you and Pastor E, that's me, really spoke to me last Sunday. You stated, we might not know what's happening, but that doesn't mean God ain't working. Pastor E stated during the offering that God can't bless what you don't give. Both words hit me in the center of my chest as I've been praying for a better job situation and just life, period. So I trusted your words and I gave a portion of my last as Pastor E instructed. Tell me why on New Year's Eve day, I received a call from the hiring manager of a job that literally fell in my lap a week earlier with an offer of a $5,000 base increase and a $36,000 signing bonus. Everybody say that's momentum right there. I'm going from managing a team of six people to having nine managers report to me and their employees roll up to me, which is roughly 150 people dotted line up to me. They go on to say, I thank God for bringing Word of Truth into my family's life and having such dope pastors. I guess what I'm trying to say is thank you. If you would, please relay to Pastor E, that's me, as well. That man has really reshaped my understanding of faith. I'm not perfect, but I'm sure enough better than what I was. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. And I'm declaring over you as a people, and I'm declaring over us as a church, that you are about to see momentum that you've never seen in your life. God's about to do some things so fast, your head is going to swim. You're not going to realize how fast it happened till you look back and go, wow, momentum took place in my life. Say amen to that. Say, I receive momentum. So if you're taking notes or if you need a copy of the notes, you can raise your hands. Our ushers will give you a copy. But the message title today is Creating Momentum with Your Words. Creating Momentum with Your Words. So here's what I want to do. I want to start out by first defining what momentum is. Momentum is the force or energy that happens when an object or a person moves forward. I'm going to say that again. Momentum is the force or energy that happens when an object or a person moves forward. Momentum involves a combination of motion and might or power that will keep something going. Simply put, momentum is power released when movement is made. Everybody say power released when movement is made. Oh, you don't sound convinced. Let's say it again. Say power released when movement is made. In other words, the only way you're going to see momentum that I'm teaching, movement has to take place in your life. Which now brings us to point number one, because if you're going to see momentum that I believe God wants us to see, you and I, we must partner with God to see his momentum. We must partner with God to see his momentum. See, God is a God of principles. He's a God of protocol. And God is a God of promises. The principles is what God wants us to do. The protocol is how he wants us to do it. And the promise is the blessing as a result of us obeying what he told us to do. Now, here's what's interesting. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles. Say amen to that. Amen. And for us to see momentum take place, we must partner with God or agree with God for what he is wanting to do. A good example of words creating momentum that's found in scripture is actually the birth of Christ. So here's what we're about to do. We're about to read the account of the birth of Christ, but the point of me reading it is to show you that Mary caused momentum to happen in her life when she used her words to get in agreement with God so she could see the manifestation of what he wanted in her life. Say amen to that. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. He was sent, this angel, to a virgin who was espoused to a man who was named Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was what, church? Mary. And the angel came to her, and he said to her, hail, you are highly favored. The Lord, Mary, is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she, Mary, saw this angel, she was troubled at what he said. And she thought in her mind, what type of greeting or salutation is this? Verse 30 says, the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what, church? Jesus, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he, Jesus, shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Watch what happens. Then said Mary to the angel, how can this happen? I don't know a man. I haven't been intimate with a man. And so verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, watch this, because we're going to reference this back in just a minute. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and the power of the Holy Ghost, or the power of the Highest, shall overshadow you. Therefore, the holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now, I want you to watch Mary's reaction. Because, see, some people think that God's will is automatic, and it ain't. There are some things that God wants to do in your life, but if you don't come into agreement with God, and if you don't partner with God, what God wants to happen ain't gonna happen, because the only way it's gonna happen is you gotta let it happen. Watch what she said. Verse 36, or verse, what verse am I on? Verse 38, what am I on? Y'all don't know what verse I'm on. Okay, alright. Verse 36. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she's conceived a son in her old age, and she's in the sixth month, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Watch this now. Mary is about to create momentum in her life. And Mary what, church? Come on, church. Come on, church. She said, I got a question. What do you use to say something? Words. So Mary said with some words, what did she say? She says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Let me urbanize that. This is what Mary said. What you just said, let it happen to me. The moment Mary uttered those words, listen, the moment she uttered those words of agreement, the power of her words manifested momentum in her life. And what I'm teaching you today, if you would just do what I'm telling you to do today, you will see momentum in your life. I don't care where your life is right now. Amen. And here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to have no money to do what I'm going to teach you today. You don't have to have an education to do what I'm teaching you today. You don't even have to have your life right to do what I'm teaching you today. If you just do what I'm telling you, you will see momentum take place in your life. So let me explain how it works. Because God is a spirit, everybody say God. He's a spirit. John chapter 4 verse 24, Jesus confirms that. This is what it says. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So listen, church. So if God is a spirit, and he is, you and I, listen, must connect with him on a spiritual level. And we must do that in order for us to see and experience and activate his power. Say amen to that. And the problem is most people don't know how to connect with God in that way so they can access and experience his power. See, just like a hairdryer, it is not going to work until you plug into a socket with some power. Because if the breaker's off, you can plug the hairdryer in, it still ain't gonna work. But if you plug in a hairdryer, and if that hairdryer is that socket has some power, guess what's gonna happen? That is going to work for you. Well, God's power must be activated just like that hairdryer. The thing is, we have his power in us, but just like that hairdryer, just because it's plugged in doesn't mean it's going to work. Why? Because you can plug it into a socket that has power, but until you switch it on, that hairdryer ain't gonna work. Well, until you and I know how to switch on God's power to utilize it, we won't see momentum in our life. But I'm glad you're here today, because I'm gonna show you how to switch on that power so that you can see God's momentum in your life. So there are some things that you and I got to do to activate God's power for momentum. And one of those things that we must do and what must take place is one of those key things, and that is we must properly utilize words. Now, I want you to notice in the story that we read that although God wanted to use Mary to have Jesus, she had to agree with him. She had to agree with what God wanted to do. And listen, her words allowed her to spiritually connect with God so that his will and his power was activated in her life. So listen, let me show you how this works. Because most people, if you are born again, you have God's spirit on the inside of you. Which means now, when he comes on the inside, he brings power with him. But most people don't know how to take the power from the inside and have it manifest on the outside. So, look at what Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 63. He said, "It is the spirit that quickens or brings life. The flesh profits nothing." That's why the devil wants you to stay in the flesh. You know why? Because that's where he dominates. He dominates in the flesh. And when you and I live in the flesh, we're going to profit nothing. But Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you," read it with me, church, "they are spirit and they are life." Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." So now let me repeat something again that I said earlier. Because God is spirit, you and I, we must connect with him on a spiritual level so that we activate his power. And one of the main ways you and I activate God's power, it does require words. Say amen to that. So if words are spirit, Jesus just told us that they were, and God is spirit, then words can connect me to God, and these words that I use can create spiritual momentum for me, which ultimately produces natural momentum for me. You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Mary used her spiritual words. She came in partnership with God. She agreed with what God said. And when she used her spiritual words, they caused a spiritual connection. Once the spiritual connection took place, spiritual momentum took place. And once spiritual momentum took place, watch this, church, ultimately natural momentum took place. And that's why Jesus had to be born. And some of you don't know that your words right now are birthing things in momentum backwards. And you're wondering why your life is where it is. It's because you have used words in the opposite direction God's called you to use them. We stated earlier that momentum is power released when movement is made. So here's the question. Where does this power come from and where is it produced? Which brings us to now point number two, and that is power starts on the inside that eventually affects me on the outside. Power starts on the inside that eventually affects me on the outside. So we're about to read Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. And I'm hoping after I get done with this verse, you will see it, you'll receive it, and you'll operate in it in a whole different level than where you are right now. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now unto him," who is God, "that is able," everybody say God is able. He's able to do, watch this, "exceeding," meaning that he goes and he exceeds what you thought. "Abundantly," that means it's much more than what you had. "Above all," watch this, "that we ask," or what, church? Now let's just stop there, because if I have to ask something, I have to use words to do it. So this is telling me that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above. I have to ask something and I have to be thinking something, but all of that is conditional. What is it conditional upon? It's the condition upon the power that works in us. What's the power? Well, you might have missed it when we read the story of Mary. So let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Because in that story, it told us what this power was. Watch this now. "Then said Mary to the angel, 'How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?' And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Ghost.'" Everybody say, this is Holy Ghost power. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you." Watch this. "And the power of the Holy Ghost or the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. So what he was saying to Mary is, Mary, the way that's going to happen in your life, the way spiritual momentum is going to happen, the Holy Ghost is going to produce the power that makes that happen. In fact, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us what happens when the Holy Ghost comes. It says, but you and I will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you and I get power after that. And you see, you might be like me. See, when I was a Presbyterian, I didn't even like them to say the word ghost. I was like, man, I don't want no friendly Casper on the inside of me. How many know about Casper the Friendly Ghost? Anybody seen that? Oh, ooh, y'all old too. Well, praise the Lord. Well, this power of the Holy Spirit that is in us is what Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 is talking about. Now, how is that power from the Holy Spirit that's in us? Here's the question. How is that power released so that momentum can take place? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Here's the question I have for you is, how did the Holy Spirit get on the inside of you anyway? Well, guess what? The way the Holy Ghost got on the inside of you is the same thing I'm trying to teach you today. He got on the inside of you because you had to use some words for him to do that. In fact, Romans chapter 10 tells us, he says, if you shall confess with your what? Mouth. What do you use to confess with your mouth? Words. So let's say it like this. If you will use your words to confess that Jesus is Lord and then believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what happens? Once you and I are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. In other words, what I'm saying is it took words being said for a spiritual connection with God to take place and for the Holy Spirit to come in. So watch this. So you have power in you. Here's the question. How do you get that power outside of you? Well, guess what, church? The same process of using words for the Holy Spirit's power to come on the inside of you and to be activated on the outside of you is the same way God used it in Genesis chapter 1. So in Genesis 1, watch what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the what? And the earth. Watch the condition of the earth, because this might be the condition of some of y'all's life right now. He said the earth was without form and it was void and it was darkness upon the face of the deep. And let me just insert right here. If that sounds like your life, the remedy is your mouth. Because we just read it was dark. The earth didn't have any form and the earth was void. So let's see what was happening. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God, remember now, the Spirit of God is where in you? He's on the inside of you. So now we're going to see his role in creation. The earth was dark, it was without form and it was void. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved. Now here's what's interesting about that word moved. It means three things. The first thing, that word move, means to hover. I like that. So basically, this is a picture of how the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth. The second meaning is to shake. So he just wasn't doing this. He was doing this. See, that's why some people shake when they get filled with the Holy Spirit right there. That's why they shake. So the Holy Spirit was hovering and shaking. But here's the third meaning that most people don't know. It also means to be relaxed. So the Holy Spirit over that void and dark earth was doing this. All he was doing was hovering, shaking, and relaxing. The question is, what was going to cause the power that he has to be activated? Watch verse 3. It says, read it with me. And God, what do you say with? Words. So God took some words and he spoke it. And so let's see what happened. He said, let there be light. And what happened? So listen, church, nothing was happening. The Holy Spirit was ready. The Holy Spirit was moving. The Holy Spirit was available and the Holy Spirit was capable, but he didn't do nothing until God opened his mouth to tell him what to do. And the only way momentum is going to happen in your life, it's not going to happen by itself. It is not going to happen by default. God ain't going to feel sorry for you because your life is jacked up. Why? Because he's put the Holy Ghost in you, and the Holy Ghost is waiting for you to tell him what to do. Woo! So the power of the Holy Spirit was released when words were released. Which now brings us to our last point. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to close right there. He's about to close right there. Yeah. Here's point number three. Momentum is unleashed when my words are released. I'm going to say that again. Momentum is unleashed when my words are released. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Because I'm going to show you something about this verse that most people don't know. Watch this. He says, now unto him who is able. Notice it didn't say he would. It says he was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. We have to use words to do that. Or think, and it's according to the what? The power that works in us. Well, church, guess what? That power that works in us is the Holy Spirit. But the power of the Holy Spirit is released when we release words. Just like it happened over there in Genesis, that's the way God wants us to operate. But most of us do it, we just operate backwards. Watch Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. It tells us how powerful words are. It says death and life is in the ability of your tongue. And whichever one you like is the one you're going to eat the fruit of. And so you wondering why your life is jacked up? Because you've been saying jacked up words. Because words are spirit. And God is spirit. When we speak words that God has ordained, listen, he will carry them out by way of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is, if I take what God has said, which are words, which are spirit, and I say them, the Holy Ghost in me, who's ordained to, watch this, carry out God's will. Well, God's will is his word. So when I begin to speak what God has said, well, listen, you ready? It's just like God saying it. Oh, y'all missed that, didn't you? Ooh, that's kind of deep, Pastor. What do you mean? No. Wait, listen. Okay. All right. Here we go. Sometimes at home, when a first lady don't want to move, and let's say Maddie's in the room, she'll say, Maddie, go tell London I said come here. My question to you is, when she go tell London that, who actually said it? See, some of y'all confused. No. Who is the original person of the request? First lady. But watch this. Maddie is just the deliverer. When she tells London that, you know what London's going to do? She's going to skip to Maloo, my darling, to first lady. Listen. So even though Maddie delivered the message, the original person of the message was First Lady. When you and I speak God's word, it's actually him talking. The reason why Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able and it doesn't say that he will do exceeding and abundantly is because if God said he will do it, that means God would have to cause what we say to happen, whether it was good or bad. He's able only when I agree with what he said. He will not do it if it doesn't agree with what he said. Because if he said, I will do everything that you ask or think or imagine, then you know what? He would have to help you be broke because that's all you say. He would have to help you struggle because that's all you talk about. Girl, I'm struggling in the payday. I'm waiting for it to come. Payday just came and I need the next payday. God, if he willed to do it, he would have to help you struggle. He would have to help you stay sick. And that's why many of you, you have allowed God's system of using words to create momentum. You're using the system backwards. Because you don't just have the ability to speak life. You also have the ability to speak death. Say amen to that. So in 2025, you got to make a decision right now. Everybody say right now. That you're going to use your words to create spiritual momentum in your life. That you are going to say what God says, even if you feel what the devil feels. So how are we going to apply the word today? Here's number one. You're going to get a script for your lips. Look at your neighbor and say, you need a script for your lips. See, some of y'all got diarrhea of the lips. You saying everything but the word. So you got to say what the word says. Here's the second thing you're going to do to apply the word today. Don't just be defensive and say what the word says when something bad happens. That's cool. I want you to do that. But a football team on the norm can't win the game with just defense. They also have to score some points on offense. So some of us, we're good. Something bad happens, we speak the word. Car breakdown, be like, Lord, I thank you that you said you would supply my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's good. But I don't want you to just be defensive. I'm talking about now creating spiritual momentum offensively, which means now you're going to begin to declare what God's word says, which means that you're going to start calling those things that be not as though they were. You can, listen, get a script for your, when something happened and you didn't expect it and you didn't plan for it, don't you open your mouth up and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I ain't got the money for this. You know what you're doing? Momentum is taking place backwards and you're going to have what you say. So let me show you what it sounds like very quickly. This is what calling those things that be not as though they were. This is how you create spiritual momentum in your life in 2025. You say something like this. Lord, I thank you for watching over your word. Because you say when you watch over it, you are performing. And because you're not a man that you should lie, I can trust your word. So Lord, I thank you that every need in my life, it's met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, even if I don't have enough riches and glory. Thank you that I always win regardless of the circumstances that I'm in because of Christ Jesus. I declare that I'm always the head and not the tail. In other words, I always win in any situation. And Lord, I declare that if you are for me, can't nobody and can't nothing be against me. I thank you that my body is healed. Why? Because Jesus took the stripes of sickness for me to be whole. I thank you that the momentum of favor always flows in my life because I'm a giver. And because I give, your word says you will always cause all grace and favor to abound toward me. So Lord, I thank you for opening doors in my life that no man can open. And I thank you for closing doors in my life that need to be closed that no man can open. And Lord, I declare this year that I'm flowing in momentum, I'm flowing in favor, I'm flowing in blessings, I'm flowing in increase, I'm flowing in healing, I'm flowing in prosperity, I'm flowing in promotion in the name of Jesus. If you receive that, say, I receive that. Church, let me tell you something. I have a public service announcement. Momentum is on its way into your life. So, you may be seated. Because there are some people that need to create spiritual momentum in their life today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, my question to you, if you die today, what would be your spiritual